of you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Are you happy this morning?
Amen.
Are you happy about the building project?
Amen.
Amen. Remember, the reason they've given you the bank account is because such projects, we want them to be exclusively financed by the members of the church.
Hallelujah.
Why? So that it must not be financed by another suspicious source. And later, after the source has sponsored us, we'd have an expectation that we need to tweak its doctrines in order to satisfy the financer. Are you with me?
Yes.
To make the church to be autonomous in terms of the doctrine, in terms of the principles, and immunize it from an external influence. The church is owned by you. And the members of the church own the church. Are we together? That is why I'm very jittery whenever somebody would say from somewhere, say, can we help? Because you never know. We live in a world where they say everything has got strings attached to it. Are we together? Even if it is another message church, the way they backslide, it may want you to have a claim. You get what I mean?
Amen.
So let it be something driven by you. Let us think out of the box. Let us pray about it. If there are any suggestions, raise your suggestion. If there is any fundraising initiatives that you are thinking of, we're going to try everything in the book to make sure that it becomes a reality. Just like how I remember, of course, normally I'm the kind of person that will observe what other people are doing. I think Brother George Martin, when they built their church, the members of the church, they came with their old clothes, put them in one basket and went out to sell them, and with that money they contributed towards the building project.
Hallelujah.
Are you with me? So there's quite many ways that as they say, there are many ways to kill a cat. As long as there is a will to kill the cat, not literally, Sister Winnie, figuratively. Yeah, there are many ways to kill a cat. Figuratively, and let us come. Sisters, I know you are not going to be spectators here. You are going to be play a huge role. Brothers, they don't know they can build a structure, but in terms of the interior, how windows should look like, those are some of the things that where you've got to make contributions. We are not a church where we think women have got no voice. That's why when we painted this building, we asked some sisters, what do you think is the right color? Are we together? This is going to be an effort of every individual to make sure that we deliver this project in record time and make sure that we deliver it in a perfect state. I believe it is doable. I don't know how many believe it is doable. I believe it is doable. Satan is not happy about it, but we have come to learn not to be excited and nurse the emotions of Satan. We just say, get by the wayside, we've got a work to do for the Lord. We are leaving this building where it's not going to go into the rapture. We are building it to make it so that it becomes habitable. It becomes suitable for a place of worship. It's not congested. The ventilation is better. But furthermore, after the rapture, we are leaving it as a monument, as an evidence that there were a people in Witbank that preached the message and have left the landmark there that the message was preached in that area. So for me as a pastor, there is a spiritual significance to this matter as well. Are we together? And I really appreciate the leadership team, how they work as a team to make sure that they deliver the results. I've always created a conducive environment where they need to debate, they debate. That's why if you've got a very thin skin, you cannot be on my board. Hallelujah. We debate, we've got robust discussions, because we believe everything that comes before the church must have been tested before.
Hallelujah.
And we believe in everybody speaking their minds, no matter how ridiculous it may sound at times, but the principle is that one has got to speak their mind. So they are not bringing a project where they just rubber stamp. It's a project that they deliberated on. And most of the time, when I'm in their midst, I'm a team player. Sometimes we put the pastor's head aside and debate issues, because the best idea must win.
Amen.
Not the best position.
Hallelujah.
All right. Amen. I shall leave it there. God bless you richly. We're going to have a good time. Brother Sibusiso's son is not feeling well. I'm going to remember the son in prayer. Brother Tinashe Mahere, how many know him?
Amen.
There are special meetings planned from Friday. This coming Friday, two services starting at 10 a.m. in Benoni at the Greek Orthodox Church, Methodist Orthodox Church, and it's going to be from 10 a.m. on Friday. I will be there. I would want you to be there to support him. He normally supports us, and then we'll have two services. And then on Saturday, again, it will be two services. On Sunday, it will be one service, but it will start run about towards the noon in on Sunday. We're together.
Amen.
Brother Crosby Maliko will be there to support. Brother Harold Beckett will be there. Brother Brian Naidu will be there. And I will be there to lend a hand as well. Are we together?
Amen.
Amen. Remember, we are one.
Hallelujah.
It consoles me when I see a message church springing up. I'd rather have that than a tavern to spring up.
Amen.
But when the message church springs up, it must be within the parameters of the message. It must not be a political move. It must be spiritual move.
Hallelujah.
Amen. It must be something that brings unity in the bride. We are just sick and tired of divisions. We are just sick and tired of divisions. We don't have time for divisions anymore. We want unity and consolidation before we go into the rapture. Are we together?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, musicians. The song items were touching me while I was on the other side. Amen.
Amen.
Didn't they sing well this morning?
Amen.
We need to encourage our young ones. So when Brother Fanny came to put up the mic for me, I said, which one sang this one? Telling me, this is Sister Levo, that is Sister Tsepiso was here as well. Amen. And there is Sister Wiganyo and Sister Nombumi. Amen. These are our young ones that we must encourage.
Hallelujah.
Amen. When they sing, they may not sing the best, but they have sung the best. They may not sing the best, but we need to say, go on, my sister. Go on, my brother. Because at the taverns, that's what they do. They encourage theirs. We must encourage ours. Amen. So, young ones, God bless you richly. And then I really, really enjoy the song testimony. Do you remember Sister Wiganyo? She's the one very young coming to say this message. And through that young girl, I believe we're going to baptize her whole family.
Amen.
I believe so. Amen. Now, let's just bow our heads. Gracious Heavenly Father, a lot has been done this morning. Songs have been sung. Plans have been presented. Testimonies have been given. Dear God, all these things point to one thing. We serve a living God. And dear God, many a times, especially in the end time, where people are quite able and see no need of God. But us, it is different. We cannot do anything without checking with your will. Because the scripture says, many are plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that shall prevail. My desire is that the plans that have been presented should tie up with your purpose, dear God. And by so doing so, we know that it will, our plans and your purpose shall never be defeated. Dear God, you continue to give the leadership the wisdom, the desire to serve the people better, the desire to stand for the principles of the kingdom and to give the best that they can give, because one day they shall be given a crown of honor for all the sleepless nights and all the efforts that they have put into various initiatives, all with the purpose just to make the life easier for your people, dear God. And Heavenly Father, our brother, Mrs. So's son is not feeling well. We are sending a prayer their way. I believe that this prayer can reach the boy wherever he is, and by faith the boy can spring up back to life and enjoy a healthy state, dear God. That is my desire as I'm praying for them. Lord, we've heard brothers, Brother Borrero, whose father is late, he traveled very far. We thank you for the traveling mercy, dear God.
Amen.
We've got Brother Ezekiel, whose brother is late. May you console them, dear God. These things, they happen, it's part of plan. But I know, dear God, when it happens, the heart hurts so much.
Hallelujah.
That is why I am asking for words of comfort, consolation in their hearts, dear God. I know you will do it. In this point in time, every man and woman in the building, you know their desires. You know whatever things that are going wrong or right in their life. And if there are things going wrong, I know you will fix it. And if there are things that are going right, I know you'll keep on making those things to go on, dear God. We want to thank you for our visitors. Be a blessing to them, dear God. And my heart's desire, we as fellow believers, we should always make them to be comfortable in our midst. Because some entertain angels by entertaining visitors. And our prophet said, the beauty of the church is the character of its own people. Help us to be loving, kind, patient. And dear God, let the word just continue to bring that sweet spirit among ourselves. Our interaction should be heavenly. As I commit the reading of the word to you, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. And then as we read, we are happy to see Brother Chetty's father, Chetty the senior, and Sister Chetty the senior. Amen.
You are
welcome. You are welcome. Amen. We are happy to have you this side. When time permits, we shall sit and have lamb curry and roti. Amen. Now, without waste of time, let us read from the First Thessalonians chapter 4. First Thessalonians chapter 4:18. Amen. Is it found? Right. It reads in this manner, if it is found. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will, God will bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen. As you just take your seats. Amen.
Amen.
We are not going to be long. God bless you, Brother Moyo. I understand your son is now better. We thank God for healing the young boy. Amen.
Hallelujah.
God is still a healer, folks.
Amen.
God is still a healer.
Amen.
Amen. He's such a wonderful God in so many ways to us. I just want us to speak on something very common, simple, but many a times not within so many people's reach. I want to speak on the message of the hour.
Amen.
I want to speak on the message of the hour, and I would seek to answer what is the message of the hour. What is the purpose of the message of the hour? What is it? What is the message of the hour? Main intention, or what are the objectives? Why do we have the message of the hour? And it is only when you know what you have that you know how valuable it is. Sometimes, like I had a man that had gone to a wedding. You know, at a wedding, especially as pastors, there are times where they would have pastors that they would give us and say, these are the gifts for the pastors for having come to the wedding. So the other time I think Pastor Nkwelima said, hey, we need to open and check what is inside even before we leave the place. Then they said, why? I said, no, because we want to know what is inside, so that if we can meet at Zotzi, we must know whether is it worth defending or not worth defending. You get what I mean? Because you may think that they have given you a Rolex watch, and you end up defending what you perceive to be a Rolex, but later when it is uncovered, it's just sweets. So I'm simply saying you can never protect and guard jealously against something unless you know what it contains. Once you know what it contains, then you know whether does it have weight or does it not have weight. And my question this morning would be, do you think the message of the hour is worth dying for? Because in all fairness, we have to admit that the disciples, the reason they gave up their lives for the gospel, they were able to put their life on the scale and put the gospel on the scale, and they realized the value of the gospel outweighed their own lives. So they were willing to let go of their lives in embracing the gospel. That means they understood the value of that gospel. And this morning, I just want to say, do we understand or appreciate the weight or the value of this message? Do we understand and appreciate that as a start, Many people, Brother Branham, when he speaks about Melrin Monroe, who was the one of the finest or beautiful women in the 20th century, marketers would have wanted her to endorse their products because she was influential. Every woman wanted to comb their hair the way Marilyn Monroe combed her hair. However, but when the prophet, through the prophetic eye, looked into the life of Marilyn Monroe, he says, Marilyn Monroe, what she needed was this message of the hour. Are you with me? So, if somebody at that level in Hollywood, Brother Brahman can realize, and Brahman says, the poor girl has been through so much, meaning through abuse, a lot of things, but he says what she needed was this message of the hour. And I'm saying, if somebody of that caliber, Brother Brahman could say they needed this message, and you have the message, do you understand the value of this message? Do you understand how precious this message is? Do you understand how precious you are to have been earmarked as an individual that can come and receive the message of the hour in the end time? And allow me this morning to speak to you as an individual, not as a church, not as a group, but as an individual. And as I speak, while you do introspection, I will do an introspection. While you interrogate yourself, I will interrogate myself and say, what does this mean to us? Amen. Superficially, or on a reachable level, the message, even before I get into things, it produces the right kids.
Hallelujah.
Respected, with respect, respecting elders, kids that have fully yielded themselves to the message, they become the envy of neighbors. While other neighbors' children are roaming the streets, these ones are not roaming the streets. They seem to be, I've realized, even girl children that are fully surrendered to the message, they become so close to their mothers. Are you with me? And, you know, the girls that are dodgy, they don't want the mother to be around them. Because there's a way that when a mother looks, you can't lie to a mother. She just gives you one look and sees through you.
Amen.
And that is why, on a human level, the wives that have been produced by this message are no match.
That's right.
And married ones, I want to tell you, this message produces right wives.
Right.
Not slay queens. Good wives that are on their knees for their husbands. Good wives that are home builders, women of godly character, women whom God respects, women whose prayers are answered, women that respects and honors you, makes you like feel like a king, even though you are a peasant. I know what I'm talking about. Women that will respect you when you have plenty, even when you are broke. They still appreciate you and treat you with dignity. And women that will even protect your imperfections to their own family members. When their family members attempt to criticize you, they're the first ones to say, you don't know him the way I know him. He may not have a job, but he's trying his best.
Yeah.
He's looking, and I know we are praying God will give us a job. I hope you're with me. And sisters, it produces some kind of men that that fly very high. They are not attracted by low flying objects. These men are astronauts. The message brings the spirit of astronaut in them. They fly higher where wealthy women cannot reach them. A woman that is half naked cannot attract the kind of man that has fully yielded themselves to this message. They are able, they've got a spirit of discernment. They are able to look beyond a woman's attire and see her heart and see her intentions and check the intentions with the in line with the word of God. They are like Joseph. They are not afraid to run if needs be. They will run when the moment arises for them to run. And what makes them to run is the Spirit of God. I'm speaking about men that cannot be enticed by this generation. Men that cannot be affected by this vile, evil age. Why? Because they are message believers. And for them, being a message believer is not about belonging to a church. It's a badge of honor. They see it as God, being God's representatives upon the face of the earth. Amen. Are we together? Amen. And that is why I want to go deeper into these things and check what is the message of the hour.
Hallelujah.
We are not Pentecostals.
Amen.
We have no desire to be Pentecostals.
Amen.
We do not admire the Pentecostal way. We believe what God has given to us is the best. Are you with me? Why I'm saying that, and I often would often mention it, don't ever think that if you leave the message, you're going to find God elsewhere. You are just lying. The God of heaven today can only be found within the parameters of the message of the hour. The only zone where you can worship God in truth and in spirit is within the parameters of the message of the hour. He who fails to serve God within the parameters of the message of the hour can never serve God any other way. Because this is the only vehicle of worship that God accepts in the end time. You may attempt to find a substitute, but God does not accept substitute. He will always stick with His God's provided way. Are you with me, people? Now, the message of the hour is not a personality. Maybe let me get to say what is it not before I get to say what is it. The message of the hour is not a personality. When I say it's a personality, the message of the hour is not even William Branham. No. Because those that thought that the message of the hour was William Branham, they even got worried and asked him a question in COD and said, would the bride of Christ have a ministry before the rapture? Brother Bram says, you sure? That's what's going on right now. The bride of Christ. Certainly, it is the message of the hour, the bride of Christ. She consists of apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, and pastors. Is that right? Then the congregation says, amen. That's the bride of Christ. Sure. She's got a ministry, great ministry, the ministry of the hour, yet it will be so humble. So, the message of the hour is not a personality, but it is the revelation of Jesus Christ in the end time.
Amen.
Why is it very critical that we need to divorce the notion that the message of the hour is a personality. So that when a personality fails, we do not think the message has failed. The message of the hour is not the pastor. The message of the hour is not a deacon. The message of the hour is not an elder. The message of the hour is Jesus Christ in a son of man form in the end time. That means if the pastor fails, we remain with the message of the hour. If the church fails, we remain with the message of the hour. Come on, sisters. If the husband fails, you remain with the message of the hour. If the wife fails, you remain with the message of the hour. Because the message of the hour, it is an individual affair. It is Jesus Christ personally revealed to you. And why I'm saying that, whenever if you can come and try to bring individuals and try to bring their indiscretions and say, the message is not the truth because so-and-so did such and such thing. I'm telling you, you did not know what the message of the hour is. The message of the hour is not a personality. The message of Jesus was not Judas. Even when Judas went back, the message remained. I hope we are together here. So don't link the message to a personality. The message, Brother Brown says, we are feeding on the Son of Man, the revealed Son of Man. That's what we are feeding on in the end time. Now, this message, Brother Brown says, he was very cognizant of the fact that it's not going to be a popular message. And maybe while I'm here, I need to bring my young people on board. The message is not something that, Brother Brown says, revivals are gone. He says the only thing that is remaining is the bride's revival. So at no point in time, the whole South Africa would embrace the message. Because the national revivals are gone. And don't judge the message based on the majority. Because two-thirds of heaven fell. The majority fell. And the majority is very well represented. This message will be for minority. Why do I bring that? I do not want you at any point to feel pressure that maybe we need a huge intake of the majority. We are looking for minority, individuals, wherever they are, within nationalities, individuals, within churches, individual, within families, individual, because it's an individual affair. If it saves the whole church, praise be to God. But it has never, many times, does not work like that. Out of 100, it could be 2 that say, we now see the truth. I hope you're with me. Brother says in the message, turning northward, he says, I know it's not popular. It's not popular amongst the people. But brother, is the message of the hour to come together. The souls have to move together. We are to be one church of the living God, Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterians, Lutherans, oneness, threeness, fiveness, all of us together. We are one group. We are God's children by birth. That's exactly right. Why is he saying that? The message of the hour is here to make the denominational walls to crumble. Amen. That a brother and a brother can have a fellowship as long as they agree on the word of God. Yeah. I'm simply saying this message is not yet to create camps. It's yet to pull out the bride of Jesus Christ from diverse background and make them one for the rapture. Are we together? And that is why you've heard it. We are not for divisions anymore. Are we together? Yes. We are not going to debate whether is it a white dress or a black dress, as long as it is a dress. Yes. That's what Brother Bram says. He says, Rebecca and Sarah would debate about the color of a dress, but to him he says, but my kid is just a dress. Amen. So, this message has got to pull us in one direction.
Amen.
This message has got to make us one unity. And when I say unity, it does not mean we won't have differences, but we will have differences, but be able to look beyond our differences. If every family has got differences, but you'll never bid your family farewell and say, because we differ on this, you'll find a way to deal with a difference. Are we together? I'm simply saying, never disfellowship your brother because you disagree with him. Continue to love him, because by this people will know that you are my disciples, when you love one another. Are you here, church? And while at it, rapture is not going to be a moment of settling the scores. After we have raptured, it's not a moment where you walk up and down in heaven and say, I knew he was not going to make it. If you've got such an attitude, you are definitely not going. Eventually, every genuine believer that is going there has got a desire. I wish my brother can go. I wish my sister can go. I wish that one can go. I wish that one can go. And that is why those that will want everybody to go into the rapture, a lot of times they become unpopular, because when they do see you do something that is contrary to the way, they are quick to come and rectify you because they want you to make it and never to miss that moment. If people correct you, it's not because they hate you. They love you. Some people, we are willing to sacrifice the moment of happiness for an eternal happiness. I can make you unhappy here, but as long as on the other side we can turn around and in retrospect and say, I would have never been here had you never had that tough talk with me. And that's why we message believers, we must have built a culture of having tough, robust discussions among ourselves. Are you with me?
Yes.
A lot of times when we nurse each other's emotions, it is right at that door that the devil comes in. Are you here?
Yes.
Young ones, if an elderly sister say you are not dressed right, she doesn't hate you, she loves you.
Amen.
Are we together?
Yes.
Amen. Gabriel's instructions to Daniel, paragraph 133, this is in the 70 weeks of Daniel. Brother Bram says, hear me, thou says the Lord. God will not deal with his church till she comes back to the homeland, the message of the hour. Come back to the original. Brother Bram says, the message of the hour is our homeland. What does it mean? You've got to understand how God dealt with the Israelites to understand the significance of a homeland. God never blessed an Israelite as long as he was out of the homeland. For an Israel to receive God's blessing, they had to return back to the homeland. Because if God was to bless a Jew outside the homeland, that means he encourages them to be outside the homeland. There is no blessing outside the message of the hour.
Yes.
The message of the hour, it is our homeland.
Yes.
Are you with me?
Yes.
And let me say this, because a lot of people think that, and a lot of people, somebody asked me and said, Brother Madiba, why does it seem like people that have left the message, they look happier? I said, no, they are misleading you. They are not here. Because we live during a time of makeup. We live during a time of impressions.
Right.
Hallelujah. I only got to discover that a lot of people that are on Instagram, maybe taking a picture next to a flashy car, most of them are broke. Oh, yes. I know what I'm talking about. I've got a friend, and this friend happens to be a friend of other friends, and I happen to be in their midst. He's actually my former colleague at Coca-Cola. And somewhat he was telling me, he says, listen, he's just a junior employee at Coca-Cola. He said, let me tell you something. These guys that I normally hang out with, you've got no idea. They are driving the RST, they are driving the very good car, Aston Martin. He says, but guess what? We wanted to do something for our fellow friend, and each had to raise 2,000 rand. None of them had money. He says, me as a junior employee, I'm the one that is borrowing the money. But it says, but when they are on the Instagram, they take a picture next to Aston Martin, it looks like they have money. No, because we live during a time of impressions. And because somebody takes a picture next to Aston Martin and uploads it on Instagram, you get miserable, depressed. Me, I'm having a bad luck. Things are not going right. Somebody misleading you with false impressions. We live during a time of makeup. That's why people get into debt, because they want to keep up with people that they don't know that are drowning. Oh, yes, I said it. That's why Brother Branham say, the recipe to happiness, you've got to be content with what you have, with the little that has been apportioned to you. Yeah, people. And I'm going back to the issue that why does it seem like the people that have backslidden are happy? No, they want to give an impression that they are happy. They are not happy. You cannot leave the homeland and be happy. They are not. Young girl, let me tell you, they can go and dress in any way and upload on social media and look like they are cool. Let me break it to you. They will not tell you of the regrets that they have encountered a night before. Amen. They will not tell you about the unplanned teenage pregnancies or abortion that they did behind the door. They will not tell you about the ugly stuff going on in their life. They want to give an impression that you are bound and they are free. But I'm here to say, they are bound, you are free. Our young people, because the devil is busy dropping flash news. The people are having a good time. They are not having a good time. I hope you are with me. But one thing that I need to drive: God will not bless the church until it returns back to the homeland. God will not bless a ministry unless the ministry returns back to the homeland. God will not bless a family until the family returns back to the homeland. So the onus is on everyone to make sure, if you are not in the homeland, return back to the homeland. And when you are in the homeland, be there to stay. Don't leave the homeland. And maybe just to show you, in the olden days, Moses was told by God to build places of refuge. And those places of refuge, it worked in this way. If you commit an offense, if they catch you, they kill you, or they stone you. But after you have committed an offense, if you can run as fast as you can and make it to the place of refuge, the people that wanted to kill you, they cannot kill you. Amen. As long as you remain in the place of refuge. Amen. But while you are in the place of refuge, don't forget, they are still roaming around, waiting for you to be tempted just to live one day or 1 hour, and they catch you and they will stone you. But as long as you are in the place of refuge, you can actually wave to them. They will never do you any harm. I'm glad in the end time there is a place of refuge. It is the message of the hour. We made various offenses and the devil wanted to kill us, but we made it to the place of refuge. And I'm here to tell the devil, I'm not leaving a place of refuge, no matter what you dangle before my eye, because here I am safe. And so the message of the hour, it's a place of refuge. But the devil is going to come and dangle a lot of things to try to draw your attention away. And should you leave, and Brother Branham actually, in one quotation I will show you, where he says this message is the lifeline. When you leave it, you are cut off from the main lifeline. You die. You may not die physically, but spiritually, you will die. In the Seven Church Age book, or in the message, the end time evangelism, before I get to the paragraph 63, he says, each day has had its message and its messengers, and through the times, every age has packed, if I could have a, maybe the fan. Every age has packed its message with a messenger. God, in every dispensation, has sent forth someone anointed with the Holy Spirit to bring forth his message for that age every time. And we could start back to go back it up just a little bit. Even from the beginning, God was the messenger at the beginning to tell Adam and Eve, you shall eat this, but you shall not do this. That was the message.
Yes, sir.
When man stepped across the message of the hour, it brought death and chaos to the whole human race.
Amen.
Now that's how much the message means. And remember that it wasn't just a complete blank denial of what God had said that Eve believed. It was taking what God said, whitewashing it over, or just misconstruing it a little bit,
yeah.
Just adding a little bit to it, or taking a little bit away from it.
Right.
The devil will not come and say, let us deny the message.
No.
He will come and say, let us just water, dilute it a bit.
Yeah.
This here, the prophet looked like goodness. He actually took it too far. But let us just review it a bit. And after you have reviewed it a bit, remember, Brother Room says, what the devil said was 99% correct.
Yeah.
But that 1% is what ushered the entire human race into chaos. Even with the message, the devil is not going to come and say, deny the whole message. He's going to show you some aspects of the message and say, here, you can just tweak it a little bit. It's not a big deal. And through that loophole, Satan knows he will flood you with demonic forces that will entirely collapse you.
Amen.
Are you with me, folks?
Amen.
Are you here, my young people?
Amen.
He will say, just tweak dressing a bit there. And remember, folks, we are message people and we are proud.
Yeah.
Muslims are proud as much as what they have, they deem to be correct, they are proud of it. A Muslim woman is proud to be a Muslim woman. I saw in the UK, what do they call this thing that they put on the face? The veil that has got a special name for it. What?
Barka.
Barka. Oh, okay. That one. I'll call it a veil for purposes of progress.
You can call it hijab.
Hijab.
Hijab. H-I-J-A-B.
Oh, it goes more complicated. Let me stick to the veil. You tried your best. They've got that veil. Now, when Western women look at them, they see oppression, they see human rights violation, they see women abuse. Oh, they see all kinds. Stay with me. But them Western women, their men have taken them and put them on music videos naked. Their men have taken them and are putting them on pornographic material. Who is being abused here? A Muslim woman that is decently covered, or a Western woman that thinks she is free, but her nakedness is all over in the newspapers. Sisters, do not ever be misled by the devil when he says you will be free. I'm glad the other time, and this is not in the message, it's just a sister in the world. She says in our church we dress modestly. And one time they had a visiting minister who was coming from the west side of the world. And when he got there, when he realized that they were modestly dressed, immediately in his mind he thought that, goodness, these people are being oppressed. When he stood behind the pulpit and he said, you know, holiness doesn't mean dragging your dress on the ground. You see where he's getting? After the service, elderly women that understood where they stood, they went and approached him and said, listen, tell us that as we take off our clothing item, how many must we take off before you regard us as free? The poor preacher was embarrassed because the ladies wanted to prove to him that our liberty does not lie on the items, on the clothing. It lies on us accepting the revealed word of the hour. Amen. Are you with me?
Amen.
And do you see them? When you know where you stand, when you know where you stand, when you know where you stand, you will never be shaken.
Amen.
And while I did, let me put it this way. We are not following politics. We are not following politics.
Amen.
We are following the word of God.
Amen.
There is a politician does not have heaven. God has got heaven.
Amen.
Politicians are twisted. I mean, if somebody that you cannot even trust with 100,000 that he can build you an RDP and he steals that money, how are you going to trust even his laws? No, the only law that we must trust is the law of God. And our politicians must not have, and the danger today, the church used to lead politicians. Today, politicians are leading the church. I hope you're with me.
Amen.
The prophet of God says, then if the message has come, what is it meant to achieve? He says in this message, will the church go before the tribulation? Paragraph 38, it says, although each time angels appeared, prophets rose, their message has always been grace, grace, mercy, and deliverance. God's message has always been deliverance just before the end time. What does it mean? When we need a deliverance, when we speak about a deliverance, the moment we speak about deliverance, we acknowledge that there is a foul spirit in an age that people have got to be delivered from that spirit. That's why we speak about deliverance. In every age, there is a spirit, foul spirit, that dominates an age. And for the people to overcome the spirit of the age, they've got to give themselves to the message that God sends in their age. That message help them to transcend beyond that spirit in that particular age. What is the spirit in our time? People's rights. Anytime you speak to anyone, even you parents, you cannot raise your children very well these days. Because as soon as you try to do something, a child says, you are violating my rights. In marriage, you cannot even correct one another. As soon as there is a correction, there's a human rights issue that is being raised. Even right now, if I was to preach, certain segments of my sermon can be classified as hate speech. And as a result, it can say, I'm violating people's rights. Pastors are now beginning to be bound because now they cannot speak against the spirit of homosexuality. Just the mention of it makes some of you already uncomfortable. You say, don't go there, and I'm going there.
Yes.
That's where I'm going.
Yes.
That's definitely where I'm going.
Yes.
Most of musicians in many churches are homosexuals.
Right.
And I'm told some women say homosexuals are more understanding. That's rubbish. It's absolutely nonsense. Are we together? A man has got to be a man.
Amen.
A woman has got to be a woman. That we believe in old-fashioned religion. Are you with me? And I'm not afraid to say what I say. It's because men in our time are becoming very feminine.
Yeah.
Even how they talk, their mannerism, they irritate some women because they overdo it. But it shows that the devil has interbreed, has mixed the seeds somewhere. And the natural taps the spiritual, because if it is happening naturally, it tells you that spiritually, the church, the devil is finding a replacement for a man, for a church in the spirit realm. What is the husband of the church? Christ. And you know that a state is a woman. South Africa is referred to as a she. And the moment the church and the state gets married, what happens? You've got a homosexual relationship going on. A state cannot correct the woman being the church. You need the man Christ to come and correct the church. Oh, I hope you are spiritual. I know I'm talking to mixed audience. The state, the meeting of the state and the church has never produced conception. The only conception that takes place is when a man, Christ, meets the woman, the child, then they produce spiritual children. Are we together? No wonder the children are not being born anymore, because we have replaced the husband with a state, and that's why we're getting our laws from the parliament instead of our husband.
Amen.
And while every government is of the devil. Oh, from England to Japan, from America to Africa, all governments are of the devil. We have just found a clever way to survive around them, but they are all of the devil. Are you with me?
Amen.
And this message can deliver you from the spirit of homosexuality. You can be transformed until you get married and we attend your wedding and you do the vows and have children and raise them. And even your husky voice that had evaporated gets restored. Because this message restores everything. That's what this message will do. It will turn you into becoming a man.
Amen.
God gave you that husky voice for a purpose.
Amen.
So that when there is a knock in the evening, you shouldn't say, "Who's there?" Who's there?
Amen.
He gave your voice presence. Amen. And he gave the sister the voice that is feminine to comfort the children so that the children can be calm.
Amen.
Now you are taking the voice that God gave a woman to calm the children. You want to use it to scare them. So it will never work. Return back to the homeland. Return back to the homeland. The homeland is the way of the God in the end time.
Amen.
Amen. Whoa, I can bring it on. Even some pastors are homosexual. It's a dangerous spirit.
Hallelujah.
It's a spirit that is dominating the age. Amen. Why? We are back in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. But the government would want to say, if I speak about how God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, is hate speech. No, sir. Know the truth will set you free. But somebody has got to speak the truth.
Amen.
Somebody has to say it.
Amen.
If others don't have a backbone, God will raise the stones, and the stones will declare the word of God.
Amen.
But I say, God, if you give me a voice, let me cry out against this injustice that is taking place in the end time.
Amen.
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 In the message, I'm going to go to the Seven Church Age book. Brother Branham says, in every age, we have exactly the same pattern. That is why the light comes through some God-given messenger in a certain area. Then from that messenger, there spreads the light through the ministry of others who have been faithfully taught. Get the sequence. God-given messenger. Through him, God brings the light of the hour. And through him, others are faithfully taught by him. Amen. And that is why every preacher has got to be a student of Malachi 4. Every preacher, you've got to. And some of us, we are even getting scared. If a preacher preaches more than an hour without saying, Brother Branham said, we have a problem. Amen. Things that are you telling, where are you taking them, brother? Quote our prophet. Amen. Because remember, you are only authenticated to preach to the bride if you preach what the messenger has brought. But just imagine when you are moving out of Egypt and another brother tries to preach to you and he never calls Moses. You're going to stop and say, brother, are you with Brother Moses? And if he's not with Brother Moses, you know that actually you are not going to the promised land. Hallelujah. Because Joshua will come and say, the servant of the Lord Moses says. Caleb will come and say, the servant of the Moses says. Why? Because they recognize the messenger of the hour. Are you here, good people? And later on, any other people or the captain, they had to go to Joshua and say, the servant of the Lord Joshua said, this is how we must do it. So what brings a credibility to any ministry is when they quote the messenger of the hour.
Amen.
But the church has got to read to know that what we are quoting is right.
Amen.
The problem today is the spiritual lesson that people don't read anymore. And preachers have become creative and bring up very nonsensical statements. And people feed on those statements thinking it's the word of God because people are lazy. But of course, all those who go out, hear what he says. All have got to be faithfully taught by him. But of course, all of those who go out don't always learn how necessary. What does necessary mean? Important.
Yeah.
Needful. Imperative. How necessary it is to speak only what the messenger has spoken.
Yeah.
Not all those who are faithfully taught understand how necessary it is to only go out and speak only what the messenger has spoken.
Yeah.
Remember, Paul wanted the people to say only when he... to say only what he said. And in 1 Corinthians 14:37, it says, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that are right unto you are the commandments of the Lord.
Amen.
Then even in our time, people will come around and say, Paul did not mean it here. You know, he was only addressing a situational issue. He was not a situational messenger. He was the messenger of the age. He came against the spirit that dominated the age. And Paul says, I, as a wise master builder, have laid the foundation. And anyone that comes has got to build from the foundation. And in the end time, God blessed us. Because we had a man that said, as Paul preached, I preach exactly what Paul preached. And I'm saying, we are on the right course. I'm saying we are on the right call. And if you think you know better than Brother Brenham, or you know better than Paul, let us read you a scripture. If any man think himself to be a prophet or a spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that they wrote unto us are the commandments of the Lord. What? Came the word of God unto you from you, they add here and take away there. And soon, they ate here and take away from there. And so, the message is no longer pure. And the revival dies down.
That's it. Amen.
That's it.
The church becomes starchy.
Yes,
the message becomes a duty. There's no more enthusiasm because there's been taking away an addition.
Amen.
And you know, a slogan will make you to be tired. The message is not sloganary. The message is the word of God.
Amen.
Amen. How careful we must be to hear one voice. For the Spirit has but one voice, which is the voice of God. Paul wanted them to say what he said, even as Peter did likewise. He wanted them that even he, Paul, could not change one word of what he had given by revelation. How important it is to hear the voice of God by way of his messenger, then say what he has given them to say. Excuse me, to the churches. What does it mean? Even if Brother Bram can rise from the dead and try to change the message, we will not accept it. Because Paul says, after I've preached what I've preached, even if I, Paul, could come and change it, don't believe it. Even if an angel can come out of the heaven and attempt to change it, let him be accursed. This message will never be changed. I've got sad news for the devil. It will never be modified. How it was given, it will be preserved in that manner. Are we together? Don't ever lower the standard at all. Now, in the exposition or the unveiling of God, paragraph 184, Brother Branham says, and this is where you need to understand the importance of the messenger, the message, and the age. And I'm saying, if you know the message, your message, and you know the age in which you are living in, and you know the messenger that was sent by God, the devil is not going to mislead you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
No. And the role of the messenger, your relationship with the messenger cannot be casual. Casual in a sense that you can tell him and say, that one I don't think I will take it. Whatever you omit can make you not to go forward. If you omit the recipe that Moses gave on how to cook with the lamb, you are not going to survive. If Esther had omitted what Mordecai had told her, Esther was not going to be able to save the nation. If Naomi had, or Ruth had omitted what Naomi had told her, she was not going to be ready for Boaz. So that means God will always send the go-in-between person to prepare you for his weight. And in all other ages, God raises prophets, he gives them the weight, and they bring the weight to the people.
Amen.
And I, as a pastor, you are within your right, after I've preached, to come and say, let's talk. And you can even bring a scripture and say, let us reason together. And we reason over my sermon. My poor sermon is subject to be reasoned, but not the thou says the Lord.
Amen.
Preachers, you can debate with them, but don't debate with the prophet.
Amen.
Because the prophet comes out with, thou says the Lord, he delivers, thou says the Lord, he is back into the bush. Brother Bruno says, you cannot subject him to human interrogation. Are you with me? Now, he says, brother, sister, the unveiling of God, paragraph 184, brother, sister, are you catching it? Look, don't you see? It's been veiled through these ages, according to what God said. It will be opened in the last days. Those seven seals would be broken, and the full thing would come into view of the people, what took place all along. The hour of the seventh angel's message, and all the mysteries of God should be made known in that Elijah, this hour, how that Christ is put out of his church, and the Son of God, how he is revealed as Son of Man again. But how that the church is to be put in order, and everything for the last day, no creed, no denomination, just absolutely the word living in the individual. I'll take one and leave one, I'll take this and leave that one. There's no string, no denominations, no binding, nothing. It's the heart with God and him alone. But he says, the phrase that I love is that, when's that It will open in the last day. Those seals would be broken, and the full thing would become into view of the people what's taking place. And the hour of the seventh angel's message, all the mysteries of God should be known in that Elijah. What does it mean? You have to find the Elijah of your day.
Amen.
Because in him, all the mysteries are in him.
Yes,
are we together? And while at it, when God took Brother Branham away, every mystery that had to be revealed was revealed.
Amen.
Folks, there is nothing pending. Anything that God wanted it to be revealed has already been revealed.
Amen.
It may never have been revealed to you as an individual, but keep on reading the book. Keep on listening to the tape. Keep on going to a church. Then the revelation will come. Are we together?
Amen.
But that's why, as you are in the message, you've got to grow. Because when you came as a spiritual baby. But now you are coming into the full stature of a perfect man. And things that never made sense are beginning to make sense. But what I've got to do, stay under the way you will ripe.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Amen.
He says in this message, how can I overcome? Paragraph 43. So if we are trying to follow the message of the hour, or at least this part of the message, we should live constantly in the life of Christ. Because if you don't, you lay around and know that this thing that you're supposed to do and don't do it. The Bible said, he that knoweth to do good and doth it not, to him it's sin.
Yeah.
Then you become dirty, rotten, when you are separated from the life of God. So strive with all that's in you to stay in the life of Christ, that you would be fruit bearing. We see this age that we are living in. It's one of the grandest ages of all ages. The Laodicea church age is the grandest of all the church ages, because it's the ending of time and the blending of eternity. Then it's the greatest sinful age. It's more sin in this age than there's ever been. And the powers of Satan is many times harder to fight against than it was in any other age. But what will fight the powers of David in time? The message of the hour.
Yes.
What will those tapes, brethren, have got enough voltage to bring the devil under subjection?
Yes.
Make sure that the tapes have got preeminency in your life, and make sure that you yield your life to the tape. The tapes will defeat Satan anywhere, under any condition, at any time.
Amen.
Do you believe that, folks?
Yes.
The tapes is not a material, it is the word of God. And you are the privileged people among all the saints ever since the inception of humanity. You are the very people that know and have the voice of your prophet. Those that were born after Moses was gone, they don't know the voice of Moses. Even Christianity, we don't know the voice of Jesus unless we recognize the supernatural. For the first time in history, God inspired a scientist to come with a magnetic tape, so that the voice that will speak in this generation, it must be on record. And there was a prophet that said, I'm here to store up the food, because the time of famine is coming. People will go to and fro looking for spiritual food, but they will not find it. But in the end time, here is a secret. The word is now in the bride. She has, thou says the Lord. She knows what needs to be done with the word. And I say, God, thank you for those 1,300 messages. Because through them, we overcome Satan time and again. And I say, if it worked for one brother, it will work for you. Wherever this message goes, we get testimonies from prisons, where prisoners are sitting there and they put a tape and they say, oh man, where can I find this thing? And they write to voice of God recording and they are being sent tape. I tell you where the predestinated seat is. When they come in contact with the revealed word of the hour, they may be in the dungeon, but they will respond to the call. And they will say, Satan, we are done with you. What does it mean? This message is the liberty.
Yes, sir.
This message liberates us from demonic forces that operate during the age. No wonder Satan hates you.
That's right.
You know why Satan hates you? Because he sees you as a young woman and says, if this young woman lives in this manner, she might inspire other people on the campus to realize that there is a possibility. Do you know how precious it is when you come to a realization that there is a possibility? If a boy has been raised in a poor family, and one day he just looks and says, there is a possibility for me to get a bursary and go to school. That realization of a possibility, it creates a burning desire. And through that boy, many other lives can be liberated. I'm talking naturally. How much more spiritually, when maybe you have been a drug addict, you have tried this drug and drug, but one day, in the middle of the night, I heard somebody that was telling me, I said, how did you quit smoking? He says, listen, one day, I was just driving. He's in Cape Town. He says, I was just driving. And he says, as I was driving, it was 2 o'clock in the morning. And right there, I realized, I said, goodness, this thing has got no power over me. And I said, this was in 1983. He says, I just looked at the cigarette and said, this thing has got no power over me. And he says, he looked at it, and he threw that cigarette out of the window, and he had a packet of cigarette, and he says, okay, fine, let me throw this one as well. He says, as he was about to throw it, he says, if you throw it away, you are going to mislead yourself that you have overcome it. Because you just got rid away of a problem. What happens when you've come across another pack of cigarettes? He says, this one I'm not keeping it. I'm not throwing it. He put it back in the pocket. And as he was driving, he kept on saying something, say, you need to smoke. He says, no, I'm not going to smoke. He slept in the morning. He looked at it. He said, I'm not going to smoke. He says he stayed with that box of cigarettes for two weeks, 3 weeks, until he finally said, I'm done with this, and threw it away. He kept it to show it that I've got power over you. Are you here, folks? And if a normal willpower of a human being can do that, how much more when the willpower of a human being is inspired by the word of God? You look at sin and say, you had a control over me for quite some time, but today I've got a control over you. Because 2,000 years ago, he died on the cross, and his spirit is now in me. Satan, you are nothing. It comes under your subjection. Cigarette cannot control you. Actually, the quickest way to quit smoking is just to say, if I buy, who do I make rich? Then one day you'll realize you develop more willpower until you say, I'm done. Me, I never smoked. I never. Oh, I tried once. But the one that was teaching me to smoke as a young boy told me that, I think it was a rough mess. Don't pretend like you didn't try some stuff. No, message believers, once you want to bring a testimony, say, really? Even you? Is that you are not given a time to speak? And they gave me this cigarette, and this boy said, okay, fine, after you have inhaled, just say, it hit my lungs. I coughed so much. It was the very last time I tried it. And I said, God loved me. Amen. That boy was inspired for me not to be an addict. And I never tried that. Amen. Amen. Are we together?
Amen.
Now, I'm going to wrap up. They have notes, but let me just pass this one. Brother Brown says, the token that he preached on the 1st of September, 1963. He says, God only recognizes the token.
Amen.
That's the message of the hour.
Amen.
Did you catch that one?
Amen.
He only recognizes the token. That, then he tells what's the token. That's the message of the hour. That's the message of this day. That's the message of this time. Receive it. Receive it. Amen. Now, in closing, for 2-5 minutes more, I don't need to keep on saying I'm closing. Least I be accused of lying, but I'm closing. Three kinds of believers. I want you to listen to this and give this quotation an unlimited or undivided attention. I want you to jot it down and revert back to it in your private time. Three kinds of believers, paragraph 185. Brother Moses says, and this message of the hour that we are now enjoying, the presence of God. Now he says, this message is the presence of God. The latter day, the evening time, when lights are shining, the things that's being opened and the way to vindicated proved to be the truth. Both prophesied comes to pass. All through scientific and everything prove that it is Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. A man walked out on that. A man walked out on that. He is an unbeliever. Anyone that walks out on this message is an unbeliever.
Amen.
And maybe let me tell you something. Once you have fully grasped the message and you leave it, many of them that have left, they don't go to any other church. Because you know why? Because they know too much. They will create problems if they find another church. Most of them, they just decide that on Sunday we'd rather go to the mall. If you leave us in the message, don't ever think you will have peace. You actually will go around with the red book, and you will go around people when they trust something and say, no, not that one. I know a man that has left the message. He was a musician, and he's now a pastor within the Pentecostal. And one day I heard him that he's going to teach them about the 70 weeks of Daniel. I laughed. I said, where does he know the 70 weeks of Daniel from? And later he comes, he says he was teaching them about the three courts, the outer court, the inner court. I said, who taught him that? Now, I could see that the problem, there are people that are in the message, but they are jealousy of the messenger. They wanted that it should be them saying, this is how I sow it. Let me tell you something. It's not a shame to say you know nothing until you came in contact with the prophet of the hour. Are you here, folks? And he's loved. He's traveling all over. Very successful. But he's omitting. And I said, one day maybe I need just to get crush one of their meetings and ask to give a testimony. This brother of ours, he was our brother. Things that he teaches you, we know where he gets them. We all got them from the true servant of God. His name is William Branham. I know they will check him out. Amen. But remember, as much as he tries that, it will never bring the life.
Amen.
It will bring intellectual conception, but not the life.
Amen.
Now it says, a man walk out on that. He is an unbeliever. Sisters, hear me out. I'm working towards closing. I've seen beautiful, pretty sisters. Yes, as a pastor can say it. In the message. As soon as they leave the message, they try stuff that they've never tried. Until you say, what is really going on? So many colors on the face. I say, but this sister, until you say, is it the very sister that we used to know? There's nothing that beats natural beauty.
Amen.
There's nothing that beats it.
Amen.
Amen. And our women in the end time, even those that have never even taken one lesson in drawing, failed drawing dismally, they want to draw their face. Come on, sister. Your eyelashes were God given. Appreciate them for what they are.
Amen.
Amen. Because you end up looking like your face looking like you have drawn a door handle. That's without the message, the devil will reduce you and make you things that are embarrassing. But women that believe this message, even men respect them. You know what I'm talking about. Hello, sisters, you know. They can talk nonsense with everyone, but when they come, they say, "We were not aware that you are here, sister." Yeah. Why? The God in you commands respect.
Amen.
And what is that God in you?
Amen.
And what brought God in you? The Lord himself.
Amen.
Shall descend with a shout, the message of the hour, with the voice of the resurrection, with a trumpet for the waiting star. He does these three things as he comes. Where is he descending into? Into the heart of the believer. He descended in our time and he has never ascended. Where is he? In the heart of every believer. Amen. Now, listen. And a man walk out on that. He's an unbeliever. He's beyond hopes. He is numbed by the power of Satan. So there is no hope for him. He is beyond hope. Now, that's what it is. The believer, now the unbeliever, now the third class that we are speaking about, is the make-believer. That's the boy, the make-believer. Now remember, in there stood all three. We find that they just do exactly like their father does, Judas. There was Peter and the rest of the apostles, believers. There were 70 unbelievers. There was Judas hanging right on. He was a make-believer. What do they do? This is the kind that holds on until they can find something, a fault in it. They are looking every time to find a loophole and see how it's done. So these ones, they just believe the message. They are waiting for the loophole to find fault with it and walk out on it. You know, sometimes when somebody wants to backslide, they're just waiting to be offended so that they can stay the church. You are lying. If we have offended you as the church, there are many churches. You cannot go there and put makeup and say, because they offended me at church. No. You just reveal the nature that was in you. And you want to use other people as an excuse for your failure. No. You need not to do that. They are waiting to be sold out. And while at it, I think I can say it in this church. There's a group called Jesuits. They are recruiting young men in the message to attack the message. I'm not talking thumbsuck, I'm talking in absolute terms. They're giving them money, financing their lifestyle. They are all over social media, are taking the prophet of the hour. We have learned that they are being sponsored by the Jesuits. If you don't know the Jesuits, how they operate, a Jesuit would work, they've got an anointing of Judas. A Jesuit can come here, come to church, visit, hear us preach, and come and surrender their life and be baptized and be with us for years, humble, obedient, until they are loved by every brother and every sister. They become a model of what worship, a worshiper is like. Then later, after they have gained the trust, the loyalty, the admiration of the people. Then they come, they've tried it in certain denominations, they'll come and say to a minister, the issue that you preach that you don't believe in Trinity, we disagree with it. But you can change it. You don't need to worry about fundraising for building a church. We'll build a church for you. But if you don't, we're going to falsely accuse you that this is what you did to the people. Now, the poor minister is caught up between, do you protect his integrity or his image, or does he cooperate with them? That's how they have hijacked churches. They are planted within universities. They are planted within the banking systems. They are all over. After church, you can go and research about the Jesuit movement. They are more of a hit squad for the Catholic Church. Where the Catholic Church disagrees, these guys, they are like the hit squad. They will deal with you and sort you out. Now, remember, there is a man from Vatican. I forgot the same name, but he is Ignatius. He was tasked with the responsibility of uniting the churches. Now, this man later, when he gave the feedback, he said, we have a problem. There are certain churches that we cannot engage with them, cannot have a dialogue with them, because we don't know where their headquarters are. They are littered around the globe, so when you speak to them, you are unable to find one office that represents them. So it is difficult to engage them for the unity of the churches. And you know, the only people that do not have a headquarters, and we are glad, Brother Brown, to say Jeffersonville is not a headquarters. Every church is suffering. You know why the prophet put it like that? So that if one church in Switzerland is deceived, it does not dictate to us, here we consult with God. Are we together? And I'm saying to that man, he will never find our headquarters. Because our headquarters is not at the bound. For him to find our headquarters, he's got to repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And after he has been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And by that time, before you find our headquarters, you have reached a point of no return. Amen. You get what I mean? So they cannot locate us. There's someone this morning when I preached, I did not phone another pastor and say, this is what we're going to preach today. Every minister under the message, wherever they are, they were in their room consulting with the heavenly headquarters, which is heaven. And in every church, they are preaching this message individually, independently, but it's God on the move. So the Jesuits are doing that. And that is why, brother, don't be a Jesuit. Don't be a Jesuit. They say dirty boots is a reflection of clean money. Work for money. Don't sell out like Judas and say, I know where they are. No, don't sell out. Work for your money. I think I can go on and on. But in closing, what house will you build me? Not only our message should be the flame of the hour, it should be the flame in our hearts.
Amen.
It's got to be in our hearts, or we can't. It's got to be in our hearts, or we can't rightly present it to the people. The Spirit has to pack the message itself. And he says, I'm trusting and believing in every one of you to be a real Christian. Real Christian at work. Real Christian in your personal corner. No double lives, sticking to what you profess to be. Whether people see you, whether people don't see you, you represent this message with honor, dignity, and integrity. Then when you do that, you have become the salt And by being salt, you can make the world to be thirsty for this gospel. But if we live double lives, we're not going to be able to achieve that. But this message is the precious things. When a man is under this message, sister, you can trust him. Men that are in this message are one woman men.
Amen.
Women that are in this message are one man woman.
Amen.
They don't get confused. They know where they stand.
Amen.
They've got integrity. Young men that are in this message have got a respect for the sister. They know that if this woman is going to be somebody's husband, men that are here, that are under this message, respect our sisters. And sisters that are here under this message, they've got integrity. We can put them out unto the world. Even wealthy boys will testify she's a genuine Christian. And remember, unbelievers know more about us than we know about fellow believers. When an unbeliever confesses that this one is a believer, you must know they are really believers. But this message, wherever you go, it makes you to be different. And to some cases, you become like Joseph. They take your advices seriously. This message, it's a treasure. This message is a product of grace to us. Let us preserve it with integrity. Let us keep it in the way it has been given to us. When we do that, doors will open. Satan will be under our feet. On those ways, God bless you richly. How many are glad to be message believers? Amen. As we stand to our feet, all of us, God bless you richly. We are depending on the power from above for us to leave this message. How many consider it to be a grace to be message believers? How many would have died prematurely had they not been in the message? I can imagine a lot of things that the devil had lined up for us to destroy us individually, destroy our families. Some, when the message came their way, they were about to separate. And the message just brought them together.
Amen.
This message does achieve results. You know that even those that are not in the message that are our relatives, they trust you because of your sobriety. And where did you get your sobriety? From the message of the hour. They know that that man is a man of his way. That woman is a woman of her own ways. And I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed to be a message believer. I'm not ashamed to say William Branham is my prophet. His teachings have shaped me, have shaped my views, have shaped my character, have shaped my outlook. I'm not ashamed. And what it did to me, it has to do to my children. I'm not afraid to say to my children, this house is under a prophetic order.
Hallelujah.
And that prophet, whatever he says in this house, it's a finality because he was the mouthpiece of God.
Hallelujah.
We are not ashamed. We are not ashamed. And we will never be disobedient to this heavenly vision. It's not a popularity context, folks. This message will make you unpopular, but it will make you honest. And you would rather be honest than to be popular.
Amen.
And when you remain in your position as a church, you are an answer to this community.
Amen.
And the best way to do that is to preserve the message. The standard must remain flawless, must remain as it should have been when the man that brought the message was here. Are we together?
Amen.
Let's just sing. We stand here, we stand. We proclaim victory in his name, victory in the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Oh, victory.
proclaim victory. We proclaim victory in the name of Jesus. Proclaim victory in your life, my brother. We proclaim victory in your life, sister. In the name of Jesus and by the blood of the Lamb. The power of our God. Jesus.
as we bow our heads.
Jesus.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, Father God, truly a privilege and an honor. Father God, to be able to gather in such a fashion, O God. Father God, even more so, O God, to hear from you, O God. Father God, when you speak, O God, Father God, you speak, O God, of things that we went through in life, O God. Father God, when we look back, O God, Father Lord, Father God, it is only by thy grace, O God, that we are standing this morning, O God. Father, we look back, O God, Father, and we can honestly say this morning, O God, if it had not been for this message, where would we have been, O God?
Yes.
Father, if you have not sent your prophet our way, O God, Father God, we would have been, O God. Father God, we would have been dead this morning, O God. Father God, some of us, O God, Father, were trapped, O God, Father, bound, O God, by the devil, O God. But you set us free, O God.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, your word, O God, not just set us free, O God, but, O Lord, you took us and you put us on higher ground, O God. Father God, and this morning, O God, we can truly say, O God, thank you, O God. If it had not been for you, O God, we would not have made it, O God. Father, we say thank you this morning, O God. Father, we are mixed audience this morning, O God.
Yes.
Some of us, O God, Father, may have been, O God, in the message for long, O God.
Mm.
Some may be a visitor this morning, O God.
Yes.
But, O God, you spoke to individuals this morning, O God. Father God, your word went out, O God. Father God, and it is true, O God, Father, that it will not return void unto thee,
exactly.
O God. Father, as we go home now, O God, Father, may we go and reflect, O God, on what you said to us, O God. Father God, some of us, O God, had a problem, O God, that we could not identify, O God, or not have solutions. But this morning, O God, Father God, we know the answer is in your word, O God.
Yes.
Father, we return to your word, O God, because there is life, O God.
Yes.
Father, in your word, we thank you for our pastor that could stand in the gap,
yes.
O God, so that you could use him, O God.
Mm.
Father, we pray that you'd restore virtue unto
Let
him, O God.
So
Father, we pray, O God, for every brother, every sister, O God. Father, we pray especially for our young people, O God.
Yes.
Father God, for they are forever in the firing line, O God. Father God, they have more to face today, O God,
yes.
than what we had to face 5 years, 10 years, 20 years back, O God. But, O God, we believe, O God, that your word will not fail, O God. We believe, O God, you are the same this morning, O God. And, O Lord, we trust you this morning, O God. We pray now, O Lord, Father, be with us, O God, as we go home, O God. Father, may you go, O God, and may that same spirit that was here this morning, O God, be in our homes, O God. Father, because we serve a living God this morning, and we thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you richly. Don't forget Friday, 10 o'clock, Benoni at Brother Tinashe Mahara's assembly. And then the afternoon one will start at 4 o'clock, same Friday, Saturday, same times. And then Sunday will just be one service around midday. We'll confirm the times when we are there. They are expecting us. They solicit our support. Let's just go and support our brother. Musicians have been requested to come and assist. So let's go and assist. Amen. God bless you richly. Till we see you on Wednesday, 6 o'clock. Have a blessed week. Let it be a victorious week. Amen.
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 Is all
the door for me, brothers. Bye.